from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines for you this entire hour. Next hour, our guest will be Mitchell Horowitz. He dabbles with the occult. Encircle yourself with white light during this one. Here's some of the stories of the day. Well, shall we say, I told you so. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has asked the Pfizer company to pull Bextra off the market as part of a broad-ranging public health advisory on the entire class now of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. In addition to the much-publicized cardiovascular risks of the use of Bextra, the FDA also cited unpredictable fatal skin reactions that are life-threatening and sometimes, they say, fatal. In a statement issued after the FDA announcement, Pfizer said that it respectfully disagrees with the FDA's position regarding the overall risk-benefit profile of Bextra. However, in deference to the agency's views, the company has agreed to suspend sales of the medicine pending further discussions with the FDA. So, still another drug now that was once approved by the Food and Drug Administration is now being yanked off the market. If you've been using this, we suggest that you call your doctor. More than 200 world leaders will join millions of Catholic pilgrims for the funeral of Pope John Paul II. St. Peter's Square was closed overnight so it could be prepared for the funeral, which begins in a little less than 3 hours now. The Basilica also finally shut after 3 days when some 2 million people filed through to see the Pope lying in state. Rome's population has almost doubled in the past week as millions descended for that funeral. Among those attending, President George W. Bush, his father, Prime Minister Tony Blair, French President Jacques Chirac, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who leads the world's largest Catholic country. Also, Iranian President Mohammad Khatami will be there, along with the Palestinian Prime Minister Ahmed Khoury, both of them Muslims also taking part in the event. We will give you some periodic updates throughout this evening on Coast to Coast AM. Those who say eclipses herald history-shaping events will find support for their superstition when, of course, on Friday, the sun will be briefly plunged into darkness on the day of Pope John Paul II's funeral. Astronomers, though, say the eclipse, while of a rare and intriguing type, was calculated long ago and is simply part of a ballet in celestial physics between the sun, earth, and the moon. It will be visible on Friday along an arc ranging from the southwestern Pacific to South America at a time it will already be night then in Rome. This is a partial eclipse, by the way. Total solar eclipses happen about once every 18 months or so, although two partial eclipses occur somewhere on Earth each year. In Cairo, Egypt, a suspected bomb attack on an historic neighborhood of the Egyptian capital has killed two people, including a French tourist and 18 others. The wounded included three Americans. First militant attack in Egypt in 7 years. Two 16-year-old girls have been arrested here in the United States after the FBI says they plan to become suicide bombers. The teenagers are being held in detention centers in Pennsylvania, according to the document that the FBI says the girls posed an imminent threat to the safety of the United States based on evidence that they planned to be suicide bombers, 16 years old. The girls, one from Bangladesh, one from Guinea, were living in the United States illegally. In Canton, Texas, the father of a high school football player shot and wounded the team's coach with an assault rifle and fled in a pickup truck loaded with weapons, claiming to have a hit list. Apparently, this individual had been banned from campus and told not to attend school functions. Authorities had reports that the person who did the shooting and the coach, had an altercation after the football program a few years ago. You know, we continue to talk about the rising prices of oil here on this program. Now, listen to this one from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. They say the world faces a permanent oil shock and will have to adjust to sustained high prices in the next two decades. The IMF, in the starkest official warning yet about the long-term outlook for energy supplies, predicting surging demand from emerging countries and limited new supplies from outside the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries after 2010, an IMF chief economist says we should expect to live with high oil prices. Oil prices will continue, he says, to present a serious risk to global economy. Sounds like something that they've planned for a long time, doesn't it? And there's, of course, pump shock at every corner gas station in the United States, with prices now well over $2 a gallon and still rising. The government says you better get used to it. The Energy Department projects high gasoline prices and $50 plus crude oil at least through next year as producers struggle to keep the demand up. In Peru, anyone climbing aboard a bus or taxi in Peru should think twice, because many drivers there have psychopathic tendencies, according to a study. Imagine getting into a cab or a bus when you have a driver who has these kinds of tendencies. Some 40% of the 640 taxi and bus drivers surveyed by a university suffered from psychological problems and showed psychopathic tendencies such as aggressive, anxious, antisocial behavior. Apparently, these drivers say that they would not feel guilty injuring or running over a pedestrian. So just be careful if you're out that way. Residents, by the way, in Georgia are wondering whether it was a mere coincidence, that's a good word, huh? Or an eerie phenomena that a missing man's body bobbed up in a lake just as a psychic drew near. A self-described psychic detective, contacted by the man's family, found the body in the lake after she says a feeling pulled her there. Her name is Lynn Ann Maker. She made her discovery as she kind of waded into the lake. She said, I walked four or five steps, and in front of me I saw something come out of the water. It was the top of his head. I don't know for sure that it was him at the time. After his neck came out of the water, he turned. I could see it was him. I called 911. Police agreed she found the body, but they're attributing the find to just luck rather than a sixth sense. Cause of the death unclear. Residents in a very small place called Block Island, Rhode Island, have long suspected that there's something in the water there that helps local women get in the family way, pretty fast, as a matter of fact. Town officials recently learned that a very rare chemical found in the island's drinking water may extend women's fertility cycles. Three babies were born in March, 10 more on the way. The island has about 800 year-round residents. A paper presented at a regional drinking water conference last month identified the culprit as the naturally occurring compound called dihydroglycerin calcate, which may affect, they say, hormones. A television is now being developed that allows viewers to smell what is on the screen. We will never do this for radio, I promise you. Scientists are creating the small device in the set that will send out harmless. I always like a story when they say it's harmless, which means maybe there could be something wrong with it. But will send out harmless ultrasound signals to the brain. It means that you will be able to smell and taste a dish if you're watching like the cooking channel. Work on this device has been going on for 5 years, but news of its development came to light after the company applied for a patent. Now, I wonder if we should be concerned with this story. Scientists are saying that this week they had drilled into the lower section of Earth's crust for the very first time, and we're poised now to break through to the mantle in the next coming years. It's called the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program. It's a boundary formerly known as MOHO. It marks the division between Earth's brittle outer crust and the hotter, softer mantle, the depth of the Moho varies. Now, this latest effort, which drilled 4,644 feet below the ocean seafloor, appears to have been 1,000 feet off to the side of where it needed to be to pierce this area. But they'll keep working on it. The new hole, which took nearly 8 weeks to drill, is the third deepest ever. What they want to do is just learn clues about how the ocean crust forms. But I'm just wondering if that's dangerous to drill all the way down through the mantle. Japan, working on trying to send men to the moon, boosted by its success of a satellite program. They're kicking around the idea now of putting a manned space station on the moon. They want to raise funds for it, but they'd like to get this all done, they say, by the year 2025. There is an internet service and a newspaper out there in India. It's called the India Daily, and they have come up with some of the strangest stories I have ever seen. Now, in this one, they are saying that remote viewing is nothing new in Tibetan monasteries. For thousands of years, this paper reports, thousands and thousands of years, remote viewing in the middle of other spiritual activities have dominated Tibetan culture. What some Indian tourists came to learn from a few Tibetan monasteries under the current Chinese rule, they say now, is extremely alarming and fascinating. They claim that between now and 2012, the world superpowers will continue to engage in regional wars. Terrorism and covert war will be the main problem. In world politics, they say, something will happen in and around 2010. At that time, the world powers will threaten to destroy each other. Between 2010 and 2012, they say, the entire world will get polarized and prepare for the ultimate doomsday. Heavy political maneuvers and negotiations will take place with little progress. They say in 2012, the world will start plunging into a total destructive nuclear war. But not to worry. Not to worry, I ask? But they said no. Not to worry, because they say that there will be extraterrestrial intervention in the year 2012, and it will save the world from self-destruction. And this is what they say based on their own remote viewing. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, by the way, under the feature article that Lex has posted. It's called Spot the UFO Game. Take a look at it. Play around with it. It is pretty interesting. Here are the phone numbers for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, now open, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This hour of Coast to Coast AM is brought to you by United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Dan in L.A. How are you?
Dan, wonderful. Thank you.
Are you going to watch the Pope's funeral tonight?
Well, we've got monitors all over the studio, so I'll be able to see some of it.
I saw a guy on TV. He drove 24 hours straight from Poland across Czechoslovakia, Austria, and then Italy. And there's a lot of people that have no sleep. And it's kind of a logistical nightmare, very similar to the Hajj, which is the Muslim pilgrimage.
Well, let me tell you, they just said the population of Rome has doubled in the last week, and you've got people sleeping on cots, just right on the streets, just to get ready for all this. I mean, it's going to be a mess, and clearing out is even going to be a bigger mess.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacle. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, thanks. Right. We appreciate your call. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Go on. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, welcome to the show. What's up?
Well, I've got a question. I know it's near and dear to your heart because it involves ghosts. You had on a couple months ago a woman that did the initial investigation on the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
Have you talked to her, or have you learned anything about the new movie? to see if it's going to be more along the lines of what actually happened.
Well, all I do know about the new movie is that the individual who is in jail for those murders, Defoe, he's not happy with the movie because I guess he's not getting any money on the deal. And so he claims that it's not what it should be. So who knows? Who knows? You there? I guess not. See, that's what happens when you talk about ghosts. They sometimes come in and take you away. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Hi there.
Hi, George?
Yeah.
I was just in my living room right now, and I'm walking back, and just as I go to shut off the light, I see a shadow person. Now, I see them, you know, like a lot. They don't really scare me, but what does scare me is when it's like a whole figure. It's not just a head or a hand. When I see like a whole body, I get kind of like worried. Are they, you know, harmless or
well,
is there anything I should be worried about?
I've never really heard of them physically attacking people, but I mean, some people have been scared out of their wits. What's this thing doing? Is it like just floating along the wall or what?
No. Well, one does just kind of glide across the wall, and the other one seems like it's taking steps, you know, like it bobs and stuff. But I don't know, like I'll be watching TV and I'll get up to go to my kitchen and I'll see it like on my back wall, almost as if it's watching TV with me.
So you're looking around, you're making sure that it's not your shadow, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Like, I'll move around, and I mean, the shadow doesn't move, and then I guess it'll look at me weird and kind of take off.
So, but, I mean, like, how long's it been there?
Since I moved in. I bought the house, like, last week, and it's been here.
Does it bother you, knowing it's there?
No, not knowing it's here. It bothers me when, like, I don't know it's there, and I turn around, and boom, I see it. You know, it kind of gets a little scary.
And is there all the time? I mean, in the morning you're there, every time you turn on the lights it's there, or just at a certain time period?
Not a certain time period, but I'll see it here during the day one day, and then the next day it'll be at a certain hour, you know?
I'm telling you, we've got to do some kind of book or something on just shadow people, because these things are all over the place, and nobody really yet can figure out exactly what they are. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Colby out of Yakima. And I've been trying to, you know, like I said, every time it's been on a different subject, I've got through. But you know those guys that talk about those big old green glowing balls? Remember you had that guy saying they seen that on that submarine that one time, you know, and they weren't supposed to talk? Well, like I said, I seen one a couple of years ago. I was coming over the... Oh, it's called Satis Pass over there, and I've seen one. I'm going to tell you what, it blew my mind. I've seen for sure one of those UFOs like that, and it completely blew my mind. I mean, it was, you know, coming down over the horizon, and I'm telling you what, it looked like it was fluorescent green, and it was huge. Like I said, I've never seen nothing to beat it in my whole life.
See, I'm always interested on how these things disappear once they leave. What happened in this case?
Like I said, see what happens. I was coming downhill. And I looked over there to my right over the horizon, and, you know, I mean, it was probably about 8 o'clock at night, and that thing was just coming down just as pretty as can be. And then, like I said, it went down below the horizon, you know, but I said, holy smokes. Now, but you know, I've heard them talk, like I said, before. So I know, like I said, people seen them. And then when I heard that guy talking about that on submarine, that thing was going through the water, and you know, I mean, it just blew my mind. But, I've seen one.
Can you imagine being on that submarine, knowing that you can track something like that?
Wow, like I said, I know for sure they're there. You know, especially after hearing those guys, it confirmed my thing. And how long ago did they say that was? 30 years ago or something like that? I forgot how long he said it was on that submarine.
Exactly. I was on a cruise once, just one cruise, and I went there on the deck. And, of course, you know I've never seen a UFO, but I was looking, because when you're out there on the ocean and it's dark and all you've got is the moon and stars, you can see everything out there. And I kept looking. I was waiting for someone to pierce the ocean surface or something. Nope, didn't see anything. But you can imagine some of these people who have been on ships with these really reputable stories, and they have seen these things underwater, for example, huge lights deep in the ocean. just traveling at incredible speeds. I mean, that is something, and it's got to be pretty eerie to be out there on the ocean like that. It is all by itself anyway, and then you see that happen. If you need to email me with any stories, that's simple. It's George at coasttocoastam.com, and the Fast Blast, of course, goes on 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after the program. And that gives you instantaneous messaging straight to me. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Open lines continue.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com. Card line at area code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
A couple more earthquakes just hit out there in Indonesia, also near that Nias Island that just got hit, where more than 600 people died just not too long ago. I'm telling you, that entire region is just getting blasted by earthquakes. It's almost as if that entire part of this planet is just going to crack apart. Top of the hour, in just a few moments, our guest will, of course, be Mitch Horowitz as we talk about the occult. He is an investigator and researcher, so I'm looking forward to that. The After Dark CD is still available for you, but for how long, I do not know. Well, not that long, though. You can call 1-800-598-2331 or go to their website, afterdarkcd.com. 2.5 hours of bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, and some ghost stories. You can preview one of the ghost stories by going to the coasttocoastam.com website. It's right there, right in the middle of the homepage. Back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Tomorrow, by the way, on our Friday night Open Lines program, the first hour we will have a couple guests. We will have Richard C. Hoagland. Richard will be talking about the eclipse and also Coral Castle. And then Joan Ocean will be on. You know, she was scheduled for last week, but because of the situation with Pope, we've moved Joan to tomorrow night. She'll be on to talk about some work she's been doing with dolphins. Fascinating work she's been doing. So that's all slated for tomorrow. And Monday, by the way, I've got a confirmation. Monday, first hour, our guest will be Ray Bradbury. So I'm looking forward to that. He sent us a very nice letter a few months ago, and he will be on the program. First hour, Monday night, right here on Coast to Coast. I'm spending a lot of time today. I don't know if you have seen Google's new satellite map service. I got to tell you, it's one of the neatest things I have ever seen. I couldn't get away from my computer today. I was addicted to this thing. I was looking up all my old addresses, my old houses, my parents' house, everybody. I mean, and you can zoom in to their house. Now, you know, there, I think you can get to like a couple thousand feet over the air, but it is unbelievable if you haven't seen it yet. I mean, it's to me, it was like a new toy. I was going all over the place. Even my producer, Tom, I showed him his house, and I brought him over, and I said, come here, look at this. Cut your grass. I mean, it is that cool. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How in the world are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm still kicking.
Good. Where are you kicking at, by the way?
Well, I'm Donna from San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And I have a George story for you. This is one of those things with kind of a little twist at the end that you say you like.
All righty, go for it.
I have congestive heart failure, and so therefore I have nurses who come and tend to me and see to my physical needs and check my blood pressure, you know, all that good stuff. So one day I wasn't feeling too well. I told one of my nurses, I said, if I pass on over the weekend, I'm going to leave a button in your house so you will know that I'm gone.
A little sign, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of days before, I had heard on your show about this person who had said a little prayer to their mother to leave me a button so that I will know you're all right on
the
other
side.
That's right,
exactly.
So I did that to my ex-husband, who's deceased. I said, leave me a button and let me know if you're all right. Well, here comes the weekend, and my nurse wakes up, looks in the bowl in her living room window, and there is a big brass button. Well, she panicked, and she starts calling and trying to find out if I'm still around, you know.
She thought it was you, huh?
She thought it was me. So I told her, I said, no, I didn't leave the button. And then I remembered a couple of days before what I'd said to my deceased husband about the button. And I believe that he left that button in her house. And I could imagine him off somewhere just having the best laugh.
Exactly. See, she's thinking you've passed on, and he's sitting back just laughing his whatever
right.
off. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's the significance of a brass button with him? Tell me he used to wear like a brass blazer or something.
I don't know. She said it was a very ornate brass button, very well decorated and everything.
Well, maybe it was an old war hero that you didn't know of in a past life.
I hope not. He couldn't see.
All right, thanks. I hope you. So you have congestive heart failure. Are you?
Yes,
are you like fighting back? How sick are you?
Well, I'm sick enough that I am no longer able to do a lot of physical tasks. I have a very difficult time standing up even long enough to cook a meal.
Oh, my. And I guess some days are very good and some days are very bad. Huh?
Now, as long as I'm sitting here talking to you, you would think there's absolutely nothing wrong with me.
You would think.
But if you were here and you said, Donna, go in the kitchen and cook me a meal, in about 5 minutes, I'd be going, and you'd be very well aware something was wrong.
See, but Donna, I'm the kind of guy to go in the kitchen and cook you a meal.
Well, you can just come cook me a meal anytime you'd like to, George.
Right,
I appreciate that. Oh, by the way, is your screener's name Tom? Is that his name?
That's his name.
Well, that's a sexy-sounding dude.
All right. Thank you. You're looking for another husband, aren't you?
No, I've got one. And he's in the bedroom listening to the radio.
All right. Oh,
if you hear that something bad happened, you'll know what. Maybe I'll leave you a button.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Take care. Oh, my. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is Monroe from Wenatchee, Washington.
Hello, Monroe.
I got a bird story for you.
A bird story? What kind of bird story?
I don't know what kind of a bird, but I'll explain it.
Okay.
It was in the fall of 1975, and we were flying from, we just got through watching the Reno Air races, and we were over the northwest corner of Nevada and California there, coming north. And in a Cessna, I forget it was a 172 or a 180 or something like that. We were probably around 75 or 8,500 feet and doing about 120. And I was spotted something ahead of us, just a spot. And I thought it was another plane.
Sure.
And it kept watching it, and it was clear day. And it kept watching, and it seemed like didn't seem like we were catching up to it. And then, but slowly, it must have took 5 or 10 minutes, but it got up to where I see it was a bird. And he's the same height as us, except he might be 300 feet or 500 feet below us. And he wasn't flapping his wings real hard. He wasn't soaring, but he was going straight as an arrow, the same direction we were going.
How big was he, Monroe?
He was probably, I would guess, at a 15 to 20 foot wingspan.
Oh,
it was
my.
A big bird.
Yeah, the CV.
And when we passed it, it was down below our left wing. And when we passed it, it was like being in a car going 55, passing a car going 50. It seemed like we just was creeping past him.
Yeah.
So he was going really fast to keep up with us.
Was he kind of looking over at you?
Never. No, he didn't look over or nothing. And then we lost him when we went over him. We lost sight of him. But I've often wondered, I don't know if it was a condor or what it was. But
no,
it sure was big, and it was high, and it was really going.
Sounds like one of those folklore thunderbirds.
I don't know. But I just thought I enjoy your show, and I just thought I'd share that with the rest of you.
Was it scary to see a bird that big?
Well, it would have been if it was closer, but
yeah, really, it would have
been
golfed the plane.
But it was like slow motion. The speed of flapping the wings was just like slow motion.
What would you have done if it had, like, in its claws, a little man trying to get away?
Crashed it.
Now, you know, I've heard stories about that. They swooped down. I'm doing some research on that now. Thanks, Monroe.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Those birds are out there. Next up, first-time caller line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Michelle from Miami.
Michelle.
Yes. How are you, George?
I'm doing fine. What's going on in Miami?
Oh, nothing much. Getting a little rain here right now. Nice and humid.
Yeah, but you know, it blows in and blows out fast down there, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. That's for sure.
Coming up, though, hurricane season again, a few more months.
Don't remind me.
Let's hope it's not nearly as bad as last year.
Well, we didn't get that much down here in Miami.
No, but I'm talking about the state.
Coast.
Florida.
Oh, well,
yeah, it was
bad.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Michelle?
Well, I just wanted to call you and tell you about this reoccurring dream I used to have when I was a young girl. I was around 8 or 9 years old when I used to get these dreams. I would hear the people calling in about these orbs that they see. And they're always talking about how they're green or blue or something like that. Well, these dreams that I used to get when I was very young, they were actually red and green orbs. And they were so real. It was like it was really happening. I was terrified because they were right in my face.
How do you know they were dreams? How do you know they weren't happening?
Maybe they were. I don't know. I was very young. It could have been that they were really happening. Maybe it was something that was going on and I didn't comprehend it. I was so young. And I would find myself at the end, in my parents' room, hiding under their bed because it was so scary. And my mom would wake up, "What are you doing in here?" Mom, I keep seeing these red and green lights. They're in my face. It's scary. And she's like, "Honey, it's just a dream. Go back to bed." And it happened over and over for quite a while. And another thing is, you ever heard of night terrors?
Oh, yes.
Okay. They're really bad. And I used to get them all the time. And supposedly, you're not supposed to get them after the age of 5.
Well, no, adults still get them.
They do. Well,
yeah, they do.
I haven't gotten one in quite a few years, thank goodness, because
Good.
I used to get one that was real terrible. But these shadows, just like these people are talking about shadow people,
yeah.
Oh, I see them all the time. Well, not where I am now, but where I used to live, I used to see them all the time. They come in all different shapes and sizes. But you know what I think it is? I think it's our fear being projected out.
It could be, but back to the other thing. I don't think you were dreaming.
I don't know. I may not have been.
Whatever those critters might have been, they were in your room. But you know what? Probably, I'm now convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we're dealing with parallel universes and other dimensions. And for some reason, they're crossing over. Maybe that's what 2012 is all about. Maybe we're going to have some kind of connection. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir.
This is Ron in Oklahoma City.
Hi, Ron.
George, I'd like to know why weird things, usually disasters, happen around the time of eclipses, not necessarily earthquakes.
I don't know, but you know what? They do happen. They're strange. I don't know if people get weirder, I don't know, but it does seem to be that way.
The helicopter crash in Afghanistan yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, things like that. I remember back about 99, Glasgow Airways flight went down off the coast of Newfoundland, day of an eclipse. That same weekend, one of their flights landed in Chicago, one here in Oklahoma City with smoke in the cockpit. The terrorist attacks in Rydia on the apartment compounds always happen the time of an eclipse. The freak Christmas Day ice storm you may remember here in the South a few years ago was on the day of an eclipse.
Well, you know, we do get a couple partial eclipses a year, and then you get your solar eclipses every once in a while. You know, so much happens on this planet, Ron. One could say, you know what, it's, and I'm not going to use the word coincidence, but events are happening on this planet every day. And so I think it just happens. I don't think there's any tie-in that way, not in this particular case. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Daniel. I'm from San Diego.
Hello, Daniel. What's going on?
Well, one time I was, in my room, and I saw, these shadow people. It was, this big black, shadow thing. And I looked at, it was, towards my door, and I looked, and it was, it had, these weird horn-looking things. I closed my eyes. I was years ago, and I closed my eyes, and when I opened them again, he was gone.
Good thing.
Yeah. It was pretty freaky.
Now, you don't want one of those things sticking around, Daniel.
Yeah, I felt like hitting it or something. I don't know.
How can you hit a shadow thing?
I don't know. I mean, I was just pretty freaked out.
You go. So that's it, though. They're not coming back?
No, I haven't seen it since. I mean, it's pretty weird.
All right, then you're okay. Not to worry. International Line, you're up, and where are you?
I'm in Canada.
Well, hi. Whereabouts?
Hey, George, you know what? I want to talk about these shadow people, too. You know what? I saw one a couple years ago. I had a case of sleep paralysis in the morning.
I don't think we're going to be able to get you because you're breaking up. So try to get a better line, and then we'll get you back on. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, it's John from Milton Freewater, listening on 610 KLNA.
Sure, John. How are you?
Yeah, I got a... evening, George. It's my first time calling, and I got a really cool little dog animal story.
Okay.
My sister-in-law had this pet dog, and she just loved it. I mean, her and that dog, was everything to her. And it passed away, and my wife and I got one of these little catalogs in the mail, like Mary Hartley or whatever, had odd things in it. And there was a thing in there for animal tombstones. And lo and behold, the little dog's name was on that tombstone in this catalog, and the date of when it was born and when it died was
that's
exactly
weird.
Right.
That is weird.
Isn't that weird? And the dog had a peculiar name, too. I could understand he was said like Spot or something like that, but it was Scooter.
Now, was it an actual picture of a tombstone, or was it like a graphic thing?
No, it's an actual picture. You can put any name on it you want, and it said Scooter. It had the date exactly. Really strange. I thought that was a really cute little story.
Nothing like some animals, I'll tell you that.
I know, it's really weird.
I had a friend of mine who had a cat that passed away a few years ago, and she still claims that she sees little paw prints on her bed all the time. She's 68 years old and loves animals, absolutely loves them. They're her life. But she sees a little cat prints, like the indentation on a heavy blanket. Just boom, boom, boom. You know, she's convinced that it is there. By the way, lots of people fast-blasting me about the Google satellite map because you want to spy on your friends and neighbors. How do you get to it? Well, just you go to Google, and there's a section there that says maps. You click that, and then you can you type in the address you're looking for. And let me see if I can do that real fast here. The old computer's a little slow. But you do that, and then you click the portion that says New Satellite. And then you can zoom in, zoom out. It's great. It's one of the neatest things I've ever seen. You know, when you talk about technology really getting good, this is fun. And there it is. Now, how did I do it last time? Images, maybe? I'll find it again. I'll tell you about how you do that. No, local new, maybe that's it. Something like that. Well, I did it. Play around with Google. You'll get to it, and I'll find out. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Chad, calling from Jackson, Michigan, 970 AM.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. Actually, I wanted to ask you your opinion on ANWR, the Alaskan oil reserve, or the whatever it is.
That
anyways,
huge reserve that we continue to, I've got some questions about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, first off, I've heard an equation that if you had a 12 by 15 sized room and you lay a dime in the middle of that room, that is the equivalent in size to the little oil that we're going to be taking out. And, you know, if we're not able to right now harness new resources for fuel, then, you know, there's a lot of people that are sort of like against this drilling there for some reason, and I just can't understand why, if there's this much land out there, that there's just a major problem with it, you know?
Well, you know what? I still believe that there's enough oil. I don't think we should be relying on oil, quite frankly. I think that we should have our own alternative energy. But I believe there's enough oil on this planet to last a long time. I think that the shortages and the slowdowns and everything else are contrived. I think they're gouging us. And quite frankly, it's nearly criminal, and no governments are stopping it.
Yeah, there's literally nothing we can do as citizens to do anything about it. And I also wanted to add one thing about hear people mentioning the shadow people. Back when I first had my first apartment at 17 years old, I recall seeing something which I thought was a ghost or a shadow person or something. I had this real bad feeling, you know. And I sort of started thinking about, like, what if the actual there was an event that took place that caused like a traumatic event, then the actual matter in the house, like the wood, absorbed the energy, and it just continuously releases that energy over time.
And that's an interesting theory. I've never heard that one, I'll tell you. By the way, Lex has, to make it easy for you to get to the Google satellite maps, under listeners' emails, he's got a link up. Super, Lex. You're great, you're fast, and you saved me from having to explain how to do it. I'll be back in a moment with our guest. Mitch Horowitz is our guest. And we're going to talk about the occult.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.